This is Barbara Krumpacker Niedner, and I'm 57 years old, and I'm interviewing my mom, Louise Krumpacker, who's 91, and my sister Tisha Krumpacker Sissimus is here, and she is 55 years old, and today is the 5th of June, 2019, and Mom, we want to record the story of how you and Dad met.
Oh, goodness.
No.
What's it? No. We were both students at Antioch College, Yellow Springs, Ohio, in 1947. I had been there since 1945, but Dad came, I believe, in 47.
After World War II.
He had served in the Navy, and he was on the GI Bill. And a woman.
Pat Noel.
Older than Dad, from Graham Woods. And I should be able to whip out her name. They were very conservative people. So that was the joke for a long time, because she said to Dad, when she met Dad at the Methodist Church, "You're just the type of person that I would think would love to go to Antioch." So he looked into it, and he applied, and he got in. So while a student at Antioch, Dad lived on a dorm with other gentlemen. And as true as it is that usually you vote for the hall president and the vice president or the chairperson or whatever, and Dad had the luxury of being voted the social chairman. And he was responsible to do picnics and do social things.
He was kind of like an event planner.
Yes, exactly. And he had to bring up his ideas and how much it would cost to the group, and then the group voted on it. Well, at one point, the hall I was living in was invited to the hall, to his hall.
Dormitory.
And had quite an advantage, because we had quite a few musicians. My roommate played piano and sang blues. She was from West Virginia. And Dad sang, several other people sang in the group of males. We had a lot of piano players. Horowitz was one. But anyway, so we were socializing at their floor, on their floor. And my roommate, who I was sort of a sidekick to, and I would be the one who'd say, "Well, sing this song now, sing that song now." So I turned the pages in the music and what have you. So she gives me an elbow and says, "Hey, look." And I'm looking at her, "Dig that social chairman." Dad had come out of the bathroom and had not zipped his fly. And so we laughed, and I sort of was embarrassed, and we went about our way and never thought about it again. But meanwhile, because Dad loved to sing harmony, there were two other men in his group that loved singing, and Pat Noel could just whip out piano music like mad, besides being able to sing herself. So from that point on, very often we would meet with them in a social situation, like a waiting room or the living room where there was a piano. And so naturally, Dad invited my roommate. I didn't pay any attention to him, or he didn't pay any attention to me. But he invited Pat to go to a concert with him that night, where you had a blanket and you lay out and you listen to the music that was being recorded and was floating, all the lovely music was floating through the air. Anyway, here comes time for him to pick up my roommate and go on the date. And meanwhile, an hour or so before, another one of the gentlemen in that floor had called Pat and his name was Reg Charlwood. And he invited her to go out. And she decided very quickly, I'd much rather go out with Reg than that other guy. Louise, where are you? When he calls, you go down and say, I can't come. So down, the telephone call came. Bill Crumpacker's down in the waiting room. And I went down and I said, I'm very sorry, but she can't make it. And then he said, well, what about you? Would you like to go? And I said, oh, okay. So we went and listened to music. Dad was driving a, I don't know the model, but an old Ford. And it was one of those things, each time from that point on, when he'd call and ask for a date, he'd make a time, I'll be there at 10 o'clock or 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock. He never was on time. And it was always the fact that his car wouldn't start. The battery was dead. Something happened to the this or the that. Anyway, so very soon I was interested, very much interested in dating him. And some of the other people who I had dated just sporadically, when Dad was Mr., I'm going to say Boy Scout or whatever you want, impression, because he went to some of the other young men that I was dating and said, do I have permission to date Louise? I know you're dating her, but I was going to ask her out and I don't want to be offensive. Anyway, so wow. That was his story.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. He was super polite.
Very, very.
What did you like about him?
I don't know. He was a good sport. he didn't get angry. He didn't have fits of any type. We did a lot of outdoor hiking and making a fire. And Dad always spent a lot of time trying to prove that he was a woodsman. One of the bad stories is once his hatchet bounced off what he was cutting and it had a bad cut on his shin.
Oh!
And it was Louise came to the day, you know, stepped forward and bound it, and yeah. He went and had some stitches, and he always said, I saved his life. He wouldn't have bled to death or anything like that, but it was one of the things.
Remind us what the things that he said he liked about you, because I remember some of the things that he said.
Well, mainly I think that I was plain.
like ordinary, like...
That I did not wear makeup.
You weren't all dialed up.
And that I enjoyed... He was playing basketball often, and I worked at the gym as a job earning money. And I think he thought that was sort of neat. I was reffing some of the boys' pickup basketball games, and I must have done a fairly good job or fairly fair. In other words, he didn't think I was a dud and did it totally wrong, so he enjoyed that. There were a lot of activities at the gym that he would continually see meet me, whether it was swimming or something like that, that he was just sort of, oh, well, that's really nice.
I remember him saying, and Tisha, jump in, but I remember him saying he appreciated how that you were honest, kind of what you see is what you get.
Yes.
You weren't pretentious. You
were down to earth.
You weren't made up. You were down to earth.
I think he was raised in a household that... And Grandma really was considered an angel in her circles. But when Grandma talked on the phone, she must have made excuses for something because Dad figured that she was telling stories. Oh, I can't possibly come because I'm waiting for Edgar or something like that.
Right.
And Dad pointed out later on in our relationship, my mother just told a bold-faced lie. What he did not understand, or he did not give Grandma the credit of trying to keep peace,
right,
and not anybody else to know that he's an alcoholic,
right,
and all those kind of things. And Dad didn't understand that at all.
Right. Yeah, I feel like, I don't know if he would, Dad would have used this language, but he would have said that you were, like, psychologically sophisticated, that you were a deep thinker about relational aspects, so that
you must have
helped him have a better understanding of Grandma
at
some point.
Yeah, no, and his dad also, because his dad was an alcoholic and was just about the same year that Grandpa was discovering that nobody was there on his birthday and that Grandma had left all the AA information.
Right. So with Dad, at what point did you decide to get married? Like, how long did you date?
Well, we didn't date long. I invited Dad to come and meet my family. At the time, Granny had just had surgery, and I was not wanting to meet his family. It was important for me to go home.
So because you were headed back to New York from Antioch.
Yes, that's in Ohio. And I invited him, and he said he would like to come. Which, like, oh.
So what do you remember of that experience when he first met your mom and dad?
I remember nothing of Dad, anything. He must have fit right into the Italian, me taking him into town for ice cream and people saying, oh, that's interesting. His singing ability always helped him, because if he would always gravitate toward a group, you know, sitting at a table who was singing a song that came on the...
So he was basically going along with the program, which was if you were really going home to be with your mom post her
surgery, yeah.
Then he was, like, trying to figure out how to fit in.
That's exactly right.
What is the... I can't remember where this story comes into the sequence, so you have to tell me, like, at what point you got married. But I remember you tell this story about your dad and Dad.
Going sailing.
I got to hear the sailing
story. No. We were already married.
You were already married then.
And you have to know that my dad had a sailboat. And in my opinion, my dad loved to piddle. And by that I mean sanding, rubbing, polishing, all that stuff. He could do it weeks and weeks and months on end. When you didn't know where my dad was, he was down in the garage sanding. He had sanded for 3 months and he's still sanding. So he was very proud of his boat. And the boat needed to be put in the water about a 40-minute or an hour trip from where our house was. We did not live on water.
Right.
And we lived close. We lived close to the Hudson River, but nobody did anything like that in the Hudson River. But we lived an hour, 45 minutes away from the Sound, Long Island Sound.
Right.
And when my dad knew that Dad had been in the Navy, and when you were in the Navy, you know all there is to know about water and boats and everything, he did know that he was in the Air Force. But anyway, my dad jumped to the conclusion that he was a good sport and he could swim. And so he made an arrangement. Because also my dad did not drive. And you needed somebody to put the boat on top of the car and to drive. And Dad drove. So they, on several occasions, went on short, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours out on the Sound.
Right.
And Dad knew nothing about tides. But on Long Island Sound, you have tides, and so you have to pay attention to that kind of stuff. Well, once, I don't remember lots of stories about he and Dad, but they got along just fine. But one time, a storm came up, and the tide, they apparently weren't paying attention to it, that it was high tide, and the water was reversing and going the wrong way. And here comes this storm. And so they sailed over to a pile of rocks in which there was a buoy that marked the channel. and both got out, but they had to hold on to that wonderful boat. So here are their boats bumping against the rocks, and Dad's trying in all his, which probably was more than my dad had, and a geometric thing so that he wouldn't get big holes in the boat. Anyway, they did a good job, but there they were in the storm, and they had to use the Coast Guard.
Wow.
So from then on, my husband really decided, I really have to learn, if I'm going to spend much time out there, I have to learn a lot more about sailing than Mr. Balin knows about. But my dad would take Marilyn, for instance, would come and visit. She did anything my dad wanted her to do, and we would go in the boat, and then she'd have to urinate. And in the boat, you have a bucket. Ours was a soup can that you bailed out when the water came in over the sides. And so he said to Marilyn, "This is the best I can do," and he hands her a little soup can. And so for every year after that, she'd always say, "You know, if you can urinate in front of your friend's fan." Oh, he did turn her away, so he didn't have to see her. But apparently, she didn't aim very well.
Oh.
And so then afterwards, my dad was very polite and said he rinsed out the boat.
Oh, I have some questions before what you just said.
Okay.
Why did you go to Antioch?
Well, because the neighbor across the street, who was a twin, who was older than I was, male, when I was complaining, I had quit Latin. I had had one semester of Latin, and I didn't start the second semester. I quit. And evidently, one of the twins, it was Bob. No, it wasn't. It was Frank, who said, "I quit too." But both of them ended up being dentists, and they were already finished with college and going to dent school. But Frank came over one day and was talking to my mother and said, "I know a place in Ohio that they don't care whether you have Latin. And if you have enough other things in your history, they'd be interested in having you as a student." So I applied for Antioch. And the fact that I checked north of, I didn't say I lived in New York City, because they had already gotten their quota for everybody who lived in the city. I said upstate New York, and I'm really only an hour from the northern part of the Bronx, which is New York City. So I always say I got in because of my work, things that I did for work, to earn money, and because I lived in upstate New York.
Oh, I never heard that story. I got another question. So when was your first kiss with Dad?
Well, I'm not sure when. Except Dad teases that there was so much static electricity that he had a shock.
He saw fireworks. Yeah. Dad said he had fireworks
sparks.
When you kissed him.
He saw kiss. Sparks.
Yeah, he said he had fireworks.
It was electric from the start.
It was.
It was very, had we walked across the rug, and I forget what it was, but he got a... You know how when you scuff your feet across a rug and touch somebody? Well, that's what it was. That was really what it was.
Oh, okay, thank you. I wanted to hear those little...
Thank you.
Oh, wait, one more thing. When you went home with Dad, what did you see Smokey? What did Smokey have to say? That was your old boyfriend in high school.
No, he was still in the service.
Did Smokey ever think you were going to be promised to him? You were his?
No. Smokey was very independent. He really cared very little, I think, about... I mean, I was all right. I was a good dance partner. And I think he liked my mother because my mother talked Italian. And I think when he was in the service, Louise didn't write that much. My mother wrote more than I
did. Oh, you're kidding.
He was stationed in northern Italy. He was in the ski patrol. But then when he was entitled to leave, he gave an address as the West Coast because his big buddy, Joe Devlin, had come from someplace in Oregon. And so Smokey just said the same
That's
town.
Where he was from.
So he never went back to Ardsley Dobbs Ferry where his family was. He just went out to the West Coast. So he could have cared less about me.
And you were 4 years younger than Smokey?
Yeah.
And Smokey was older and he was in the military. Okay, that's interesting. I wondered about whether Dad was ever jealous of Smokey. Or...
I don't think so. Dad had more reason to be jealous of a lot of other people. I mean, there were boys.
Weren't most of your friends boys?
Most of them were. I had been camp manager or camp director at a camp that I had also been counselor at for 4 years. And so I had some of those more mature young men from New York City that on my birthday they sent a special spiced cake.
No wonder you like spiced
cake. From some place, don't ask me what bakery, but I had that kind of people. And so
there was plenty of boys pursuing you that he had.
And I don't know that they were really pursuing me. I don't just think they were ready to settle down or anything like that, but they kept in touch. I had one really more boyfriend, Hershey Gold, and his buddy, who were from the Lower East Side of Manhattan. Most of these boys were from the Bronx and were from families that were wealthy. But I did have, because this was a settlement camp that I was a counselor at, and the kitchen boys were kids that had grown up in the settlement. And when I was, this was before Dad's time, the year before, two of them were gonna make their fortune and they were hitchhiking out to California.
Wow.
And mainly they were stopping in Ohio is like, well, they thought like halfway. And Heshey, it was very obvious they had to sleep in my housing unit living room. And that's all right, because there were a lot of people that stayed awake all night and didn't make any difference that they were sleeping. And I don't know how it happened, but it could have easily been that I volunteered. I had just gotten my paycheck, and he wanted to borrow money. When they got to California and made their fortune, you know, they'd repay me. So the money was very important to me. And yet on the other hand, I said, here's my paycheck. And off they went and never heard from them again.
Oh my goodness. Is that why we grew up with the lesson, don't ever loan money?
Probably.
To your family.
Yeah, probably. So, one of the things that I still want to include in this conversation today is what you remember from the day you actually got married, or like up to that day and the actual wedding.
Well, I remember clearly being very annoyed with Dad. Our wedding was at 4:30. Dad was in my backyard washing his car at 1:30.
Again with the damn car.
Anyway, at 1:30.
Whoa.
My mom had made arrangements for Sammy Phillips and my dad to be at the Methodist minister's. She had paid for a room for them. And for me, I'm getting ready for my wedding and I'm looking out my top story window down at Dad and he's washing the car. Anyway, so I was a little annoyed. Okay, so here comes time for my wedding. We're all gathered, the female part of the group, gathered in a room. And Uncle Bart knocks on the door and says, my mom and dad aren't here yet, Louise. And I said, well, we'll wait. So we waited 10 minutes and 15 minutes. Bart comes back and says, they're still not here. So it wasn't Dad who said anything. I don't know whether to this day whether Uncle Bart also told Dad, but Dad made no remark about it, but Uncle Bart was concerned. And he was Usher. So we're waiting and waiting, and all of a sudden they arrived. The story is they had a room in White Plains, which is the county seat of where I live, and it's about a 20-minute trip away by car. But Grandpa didn't turn when Grandma said to turn, and all of a sudden they're at the George Washington Bridge, which is way south of where I live. And Grandma's screaming, Edgar, this says George Washington Bridge. You didn't take the right turn. So they turned around and came back. And I don't remember them at the wedding at all, except for that story. And the story of the reception we had at my house. And I had many things that I thought was very important. And one was orange sherbet floating in the
punch.
Yeah.
And I had a very, very butter frosting cake and all that. But and my mother served spaghetti dinner.
Oh.
But among friends, and this one friend was really a friend of my dad's, who was a lady from France who had married a army buddy of my dad's, and the man was deceased, but he invited her to come to the wedding. And our house wasn't that big. It's probably as big as this. And so when you have 40, 50 people, it looks full. And this lady I don't say she was coquettish. She wasn't a flirt, and yet this was flirty. Grandpa he introduced himself, and he kissed her hand. And so they were playing this game together. And she walks by Grandpa and gently drops her handkerchief. And Grandma was pissed that Grandpa was playing the game. And that's all I remember of my in-laws. And Grandpa, I know what it was. My father had a fish tank that was over a part of the register of the furnace. So in order to cover the fish, cover the radiator of the furnace,
right.
It was a hot water furnace kind of thing.
Right.
My father had borrowed from this lady a folding, small folding, very nice European model thing. And she was going to get the train. And my mother was taking her to whatever it was, the last train, 8:30 or whatever, 7:30, whatever it was, out of town. But she pranced over to the folding thing and folded it up and put it under her arm. And when she went by Grandpa, she dropped her handkerchief. And it was a hilarious story that my mother told year after year about her taking her possessions that she lent us home. Anyway, so that was...
One of the stories that I remember is because there are so few hard copies of photos from your wedding. What's that story?
Well, my father worked for RCW, Robert C. Weinberg. My father did not have a license, an architectural license, to practice in New York City, even though he was a New York boy. He had Pennsylvania, he had Ohio, and he had some other thing. So he got this job when jobs were hard to get with Robert's firm. Robert was one of the very first city planners. I think if you looked him up, you would see that he was a famous city planner. But anyway, he had an architectural office. And my dad probably started out as a draftsman, or maybe inking something, or some some reason started out from Robert. Now, Robert was from a moneyed family that lived in Scarsdale, which was sort of our neighbor. Mrs. Weinberg felt very, very close to my mother. So when my mother had her annual croup or sore throat, she would invite my mom to come for a long weekend, like Friday, Saturday, to get away from this family of two kids and the tantas and everything. So we were close to the Weinbergs. Now, Robert Weinberg was also, besides being an architect and a city planner, what have you, he had very fancy photography equipment. And so as a wedding gift, he was saying, I'll be glad to be the wedding photographer. And that's great. He bent down in the chapel and took pictures and whatever. And when we came out, all the pictures were taken. And when we came out as a bride and groom, Uncle Wendell was standing in a row that we were going to run down, and they were throwing things. And Uncle Wendell also enjoyed taking pictures. And he snapped the picture when we first came out and when we were running and when we got rice thrown in our hair. And it wasn't for about 2 weeks that the word came back to my mom that Robert had forgotten to take the cover off the lens.
Oh, my God.
Nowadays, you can't make that mistake.
Right.
But in that day, not a single picture, nothing on the inside. And the Weinbergs had the gardener. They had a gardener at their house. And the gardener always liked my mom and my dad very much. And so for my wedding, he must have brought over in a truck, maybe 40 large plants of mums, and I only wanted the rust and the orange. I was very particular what I wanted. Bessie and Jeanette had put them all in the inside of the chapel. So it was a lovely scene that nobody has ever known what it was.
So the only pictures that we see are the pictures that Uncle Wendell took. So thank God for Uncle Wendell.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Wow, thank you.
Anyway,
anything else you want to say?
I think that's plenty.
That's plenty for now? Okay, thanks for taking the time to talk
about it. Yay!
That was great.
That was great. So all I got to do is download Storyboard, and then it gives me...